Have you ever met someone so devoted to their work that they literally caught fire doing it? In a cramped Los Angeles classroom, a teacher's hair once ignited during a chemistry demonstration, yet he kept teaching. This wasn't recklessness, but passion so fierce it bordered on obsession. Every morning before sunrise, fifth graders arrive voluntarily at room 56, staying until evening to rehearse Shakespeare, master algebra, and play rock music. These children, many from families struggling with poverty and violence, have performed for Ian McKellen and received standing ovations at the Globe Theater. What transforms ordinary students into what McKellen calls the finest Shakespeare company in America? Not cutting-edge technology or revolutionary methods, but something far simpler and infinitely harder. A teacher who refuses to accept that zip codes determine destinies. This story isn't about superhuman talent. It's about what becomes possible when someone creates a world where character trumps test scores, where hard work earns genuine respect, and where support never wavers. The lessons from this classroom reach far beyond education, offering a blueprint for how any of us can transform the small corner of the world we inhabit. Walk into most classrooms and you'll feel it immediately. The tension crackling like static electricity. Teachers fear losing control. Students fear humiliation. Everyone fears failure. Room 56 operates differently. Trust, not intimidation. On day one, students learn that while mistakes can be fixed, broken trust cannot. One student told reporters, "Rafe will go over something 500 times until I understand. This patience builds something more valuable than any academic skill, the certainty that someone believes in you." Dependability forms the second pillar. Many teachers promise exciting projects, then cancel when inconvenient, teaching children that adult words mean nothing. When Lisa frantically searched for missing homework, a simple, "I believe you," transformed a potential confrontation into a trust-building moment while showing 30 watching students what fairness looks like. Trust creates the foundation, but something deeper must guide daily choices. Lawrence Kohlberg's 6 levels of moral development provided the framework, a ladder students climb throughout their lives. Most children live at level 1, avoiding punishment, or level 2, seeking rewards. Level 3 means pleasing authority figures. Level 4 follows established rules. Yet our greatest heroes, Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, Rosa Parks, became heroes precisely by not following rules. Level 5 represents genuine empathy. As Atticus Finch says, "You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view." Level 6, having a personal code and following it regardless of recognition, is rarest and most beautiful. When quiet Brenda secretly helped a beaten first grader without telling anyone, she had reached level 6. This is the summit we're all climbing toward. Schools obsess over reading objectives, fluency, comprehension, vocabulary, but ignore joy and passion. 3 questions reveal whether someone will become a lifelong reader. Have you read under your desk during boring lessons? Been scolded for reading at dinner? Read secretly under covers after bedtime? If yes to all 3, you're destined to be a reader. Reading isn't a subject to be taught, but a foundation of life that creates thoughtful, open-minded adults. Children need guidance with books just as they need guidance with food. Teachers can introduce literature children might never discover alone. Libraries allow children to discover unexpected books while witnessing that many people still value reading. Finding great children's books is simple. Share ones you love or start with Newbery Award winners like Bridge to Terabithia. Today's students write poorly because they rarely practice. Each day begins at 8 a.m. with grammar exercises already on desks. Students must achieve at least 90% or redo them until mastery, the dreaded rewrite. Within 2 weeks, only a few need to. Every Friday brings a short essay due the following week. On Mondays, anonymous examples are shared for group evaluation, which dramatically improves writing. Young authors' projects are demanding but meaningful. Students write original books over the year, creating illustrations and binding hardcovers themselves. One quiet girl wrote about her red ball that got lost. In the story, her daddy saw it but was too lazy to pick it up. This simple line revealed her need for attention, inspiring a commitment to be the person who would pick up the ball. 20 years later, she's a lawyer who still keeps that young author book alongside her law books. Buzz transforms mathematics into communal excitement. Students stand while counting to 100, substituting buzz for forbidden numbers and their multiples. Those who err sit down. The game intensifies by adding rules about multiples, fractions, or combinations. This 10-minute activity engages the entire class in mental calculation, creating enthusiasm worksheets never achieve. Number tiles, digits 0 through 9 in Ziploc bags, capture attention during transitions. Students place tiles on desks and hold up answers simultaneously, eliminating public embarrassment while allowing immediate comprehension assessment. Marcy Cook's tile problems provide rich alternatives to traditional drills. Her task cards contain unique problems solved using number tiles, with each tile used exactly once. This self-correcting system allows verification without erasures, developing analytical thinking as students evaluate multiple possibilities. The testing obsession has become detrimental. Students take countless standardized tests, yet rarely see results or learn from mistakes. A better approach treats tests as measuring devices. Poor performance simply means a skill needs more work. Students become test-wise by approaching exams strategically, analyzing how incorrect answers trap the careless. Standardized tests never measure what truly matters: character, honesty, morality, generosity. Helping strangers pick up trash matters more than perfect SATs, though students can achieve both when education develops the whole person. Teaching requires humility. When a Johns Hopkins MD/PhD called a lesson the worst science lesson I have ever seen, she was right. Students need hands-on experience to observe, experiment, record, and analyze, and learn from failures. Delta Education's comprehensive modules provide complete science units with materials for 12 to 15 experiments. At parent conferences, showing a science wish list and suggesting donations instead of holiday gifts generates incredible generosity. When students built rockets, well-meaning visitors tried preventing mistakes. But a rocket that doesn't fly isn't failure, giving up is. When students diagnose their own errors, they truly understand the physics. Despite having zero artistic ability, receiving the National Medal of Arts became possible by discovering that arts education teaches discipline, responsibility, teamwork, and arrow correction. Teaching about Henri Matisse emphasizes how this great artist continued creating through disability, cutting paper shapes when he could no longer paint. The students of Room 56 are the Hobart Shakespeareans, producing an unabridged Shakespeare play annually. This demanding project requires extraordinary effort, yet no other activity teaches students everything they need. Students overcome challenges, solve problems, take risks, learn difficult music and dance, analyze themes, and apply lessons to their lives. Shakespeare wasn't meant to be read, but heard. Students learn by listening to audio recordings, understanding the language naturally, like pop songs from radio. Performances happen in the classroom with bleacher seating. Unabridged plays feature choreography and live music, but no sets or costumes, just jeans and color-coded t-shirts. This simplicity keeps Shakespeare's language central. Productions evolved into rock concerts disguised as Shakespeare. Dozens of songs enhance scenes, interweaving with text, starting during a soliloquy, pausing for dialogue, continuing, creating an operatic effect. John Lennon's Jealous Guy matches Leontes's apology in The Winter's Tale. R.E.M.'s Everybody Hurts accompanies Hamlet's To Be or Not to Be. Shakespeare's lessons become permanently imprinted on these children's souls. In Room 56's economic system, students apply for classroom jobs: janitors, bankers, police officers, each with different pay scales. They receive monthly paychecks, deposit money with classroom bankers, and pay rent for their desks. Bonus money rewards extra work, while fines penalize tardiness or incomplete assignments. The system culminates in monthly auctions for school supplies and gift certificates. This economy teaches vital organizational skills. each student maintains a ledger tracking deposits, debits, and balances. Students with meticulous financial records typically maintain organized desks and manage time efficiently. As students purchase property in Room 56, they experience ownership's value firsthand. Property owners watch bank accounts grow while renters struggle with monthly payments, helping students empathize with their parents' financial challenges. The classroom economy creates powerful motivation for future goals. Through monthly auctions, students learn to spend wisely, asking, "Was it worth it?" after purchases. Those who quietly save while others spend eventually acquire the most desirable items. This lesson transfers to academics. Students apply themselves seriously while peers waste time, understanding that today's hard work opens tomorrow's opportunities. In Room 56, See You the 24th embodies teaching's true purpose, helping others because it's right, not required. Every December 24, the Hobart Shakespeareans feed, entertain, and clothe 500 homeless people, teaching students to see beyond themselves with quiet humility. Former students continue this legacy through pro bono legal work, Habitat for Humanity designs, Hurricane Katrina relief, and counseling troubled teens. In a world obsessed with metrics, Room 56 proves something else is possible. Teaching is thankless. Administrators compromise principals, standardized education strips creativity, many students don't grasp education's value. Yet, there's reason to believe, found in students like Janet, whose Notre Dame essay describes how our classwork became a safe haven where gang fights and beggars were replaced by guitar lessons, road trips, and Shakespearean characters. Let us build these safe havens. Not because it's easy or measurable, but because it's the most important work we'll ever do.